sure a lot of you this morning, when you saw the bulletin, maybe the message title, How to Clean Your House, were pretty interested in what was going to be said. This is going to be a lot of good advice for you on how to clean your house. But I think once you read the scriptures, you're starting maybe to understand what this is all about. I wrestled with this all week. Demon possession is a very, very difficult thing to understand. And some people don't even believe in it. But it is very real. It's very real in our world today. It was very real in Jesus' time. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three Gospels. In the Old Testament, we don't read an awful lot about demon possession. We read possibly where Satan was in certain people's lives and affected their lives in certain ways. We read about maybe evil spirits causing certain people to act certain ways, but it's not referred to as demon possession per se. First of all, a lot of times we think about Job. Well, Job wasn't demon possessed. His life was just under spiritual attack by Satan. It's not until the New Testament that we start to read about demon possession. And there's a reason for that that I want to talk about this morning that's pretty important. A lot of you might be thinking this morning, well, this is kind of dumb. This doesn't really pertain to me, but it does. If it didn't, it wouldn't be in the Bible. Some things we have to understand, first of all. Six times in the Bible it tells us that Jesus cured demoniac people that were demon-possessed. It's interesting that one of those times in Luke chapter 4 actually was in the synagogue, where the people gathered for the teaching about the scriptures. There was actually a man that was possessed by a demon there. And contrary to a lot of belief and a lot of our beliefs today, Satan never misses a Sunday at church. He's in church every single Sunday. And here he was in the synagogue, and this demon-possessed man in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus cast the demon out of the blind and mute man, he was accused of doing it by the power of Beelzebub, or by the actual power of Satan. In other words, the religious leaders and the Pharisees actually said, you're doing this by evil power and the power of Satan, that you're casting these evil spirits out. And Jesus said, no, this doesn't make sense. Why would, you know, evil cast evil out? Why would it go against itself? We read about it, the demons in the text today. We read about the mute demoniac in Matthew 9, where Jesus was again accused of doing this by the prince of demons. We read about it. The Bible tells us about in the region of Tyre and Sidon, the coastal cities to the northwest, there was a Canaanite woman's daughter who was possessed by a demon, and Jesus cast the demon out. We also read in Matthew 17 about an epileptic boy who fell into the fire and into the water uncontrollably because he was possessed by a demon, and Jesus cast the demon out. In all these situations, we can see the effects of demon possession. The first time I was ever exposed to demon possession, many of you will remember the movie a few years ago, The Exorcist. One of the most horrifying movies I ever saw in my life. Scared the wits out of me, but I will never forget it as long as I live. I want you to understand some things this morning, what demon possession is and what demon possession isn't. First of all, demon possession isn't every sickness. Every time somebody's sick, it's not because they're demon-possessed, all right? We are human beings. We are fallible human beings. We get sick, all right? Demon possession isn't bad luck. When we have what we call bad luck, bad things happen in our lives, we cannot say that it's because a Satan was involved or this person is under the influence of demons. Demon possession is not emotions or moods. Again, we are human beings. We are under the control of weather. We're under control of the pull of the moon, believe it or not, which causes high and low tides in every fluid on earth. And if it does it in water, our bodies have a lot of water in them. Therefore, our moods and our emotions swing. It's not caused by demon possession. Demon possession is not something that happens to Christians. All right? When I say that, we have to understand that there is a difference between demon possession and spiritual warfare. When we think of Job was not demon possessed. He was in the midst of spiritual warfare. There were things going on in the spiritual realm that Job didn't understand. And there are things in our lives going on in the spiritual realm that we'll never conceive, we cannot understand because of our finite minds and our finite understanding. Human beings are complex. We are body and spirit. We're like a car that has a body and an engine. Without the engine, there's no life in the car. We think of the story of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel. There the bodies were. They were bone, they were flesh, but they didn't have any life until the energy, the spirit, the life was breathed into that body. The car doesn't have any life until it has a motor in it or an engine. And in human beings, there is body and spirit. We're complex, made up in the image of God. And we have to understand as Christians, when we accept Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside and live inside our bodies. Now I want to ask you something. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside you and living inside you as a Christian, is it possible for a demon to come and take possession of your life? The answer, biblically, this is not my opinion, biblically the answer is no. Jesus says, "My sheep are in my hands. No one can take them out of my hands." Once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot be demon possessed. We can be under spiritual attack, but we will not be able to be demon possessed because we belong to Christ. We're His, and the Holy Spirit lives inside us. Doesn't mean we're going to backslide. Doesn't mean we're going to have trouble when the spiritual attack comes on our lives. And it does. It comes in a lot of different ways. But if we're followers of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot be demon-possessed. Nowhere in the Bible, and nowhere to my knowledge, does it tell us of a Christian being demon-possessed. When you read about it in the Bible, it is always about Gentiles or unbelievers, people that aren't God's chosen people, who become possessed by demons. Now, what is demon possession? Demon possession is an unholy condition in which a person is seized by a supernatural being. And not only seized, but controlled by that supernatural being. And nothing, absolutely nothing on this earth can help or overpower that supernatural being and can help that person get rid of that supernatural being. It doesn't necessarily affect our appearance, but it always affects our actions. We might not be able to see that someone is possessed, but you can see by watching them and the way they live that they are truly possessed by a demon. Again, we are body and spirit, and we are under spiritual attack if we're followers of Christ, but not demon possessed. Our text tells us about this man today. I want you to examine this a little bit as we talk about this. I want you to watch the condition of the man that was possessed. I want you to see the only help for that possessed man, and I want you to see how he was restored. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the region of Gerasenes across the lake from Galilee. Now this is on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. What does that tell us? First of all, let's talk about some words there. The word demon in the King James Version is devils. and it translates to demon. Supernatural spirit of bad nature. In other words, they're the bad guys. When Satan fell, he took some of the angels with him from heaven. When we experience a spiritual warfare, it's Satan's followers, his fallen angels that have fallen with him, that are part of his warring group. Okay? And the King James Version says this man was possessed by devils, or fallen angels. Again, we have to understand, in the realms of creativity, man is created lower than the angels, and that's an important thing here to know in this whole situation. This man had no human help. We cannot do anything to cast out the demons or to get rid of any of the demons that possess somebody by ourselves. Let's look at this man and see. It tells us that he was demon-possessed. That word possessed means he was owned or controlled. When I possess this candy bar, it's mine, I own it, I control it, I do with it what I want. This man was demon-possessed. His life was owned or controlled by a devil, a demon. For a long time, it says, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs in the cemetery that was nearby. Now, Jesus steps ashore and he steps on the scene. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet. Now, the man didn't cry out. It was the demon, as we're going to see here in a second. He cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He knew Jesus. He recognized Jesus. He knew who Jesus was, this demon did. "What do you want with me? I beg you, don't torture me." In other words, Jesus had the ability to torture the demon, and the demon was at the mercy of Jesus Christ. And it says Jesus had commanded this evil spirit to come out of the man. And the man fell at his feet. The demon shouted, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God?" Many times this demon had seized this man. And though he was chained hand and foot, though they tried to subdue the evil spirit, the demon, though he was chained hand and foot and even kept under guard, watch closely, they didn't have any power over the demon. The man broke his chains and he was driven by the demon into solitary places. Notice some things here. The evil spirit affected the way the man dressed. The evil spirit affected the way the man lived. The evil spirit affected the way the man talked. The evil spirit owned the man and possessed his life. Physically, mentally, and verbally. So what was the man's hope? Jesus stepped ashore and stepped onto the scene. Immediately the demon was at the mercy of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. In fact, that's what the demon called him. Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, "because many demons have gone into him." Now, this word legion would have referred to a Roman military unit of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That many, multiple. There were many demons in this man. Not just one. He was possessed by many demons. There was not only the possession and control of his body, there was warfare going on. And the man had no control over his life. Look at the way he lived. Look at the things that he did. They begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. This was a place that was understood by the Jews, talked about in the Bible as the underworld of judgment. Look up Romans 10:7. It was a deep place, the abyss. Now, if they're pleading with Jesus not to throw them into the abyss, that tells me that Jesus has the ability to throw them into the abyss, doesn't he? So a large herd of pigs were feeding nearby on the hillside, and the demon said to Jesus, "Let us go into the pigs. Let's go into the pigs. Don't torture us. Don't throw us in the abyss. Let us go into the pigs. We'll dwell there." And so he gave them permission.
who? The Son of the Most High God gave the demons permission to go into the pigs, and when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs. Their herds were possessed by the demons, ran wildly out of control down the steep bank into the lake, and were drowned. What was the only help for the possessed man? The Son of the Most High God, Jesus Christ. And it tells us that the people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus. They found the man from whom the demons had gone out. The man was sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Those who seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. He had been cured by the authority of the Son of the Most High God. In his right mind, and cured. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus to go with him, but Jesus said, no, you go back to your hometown and you tell them how great I am. You tell them how much God has done for you. A lot of times we ask why God allows evil in the world, why God allows bad things to happen in life. Imagine this story circulating around this town of Gentiles. What this man came and did that nobody else could do. How he actually had control over the demons that possessed this man's body. How the demons were at the mercy of the Son of the Most High God. He wanted to go with Jesus. He was so thankful. Jesus said, no, you go back and just simply tell people what God has done for you. Man became a believer and follower of Jesus. Now his life was under the control or in control by Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. And praise was on his lips. He went from demon possession to calm confession. It's sort of like having a dirty house. A lot of times in life, we want to just get out the pledge. We want to sweep the floors. We want to do the superficial cleaning. But it's not so. When these spiritual issues come up, whether they are truly demon possession or whether they're just spiritual warfare, when these things come up in our lives, and they will come up, they will come up. We see the effects of them in people's lives. They do come up. We're human beings under attack by Satan and his supernatural fallen beings. We tend to be so superficial about it and try and laugh it off, try and ignore it, thinking if I don't deal with it, it's not real. But you know what we need is some good old-fashioned Lysol, don't we? Something that cleans deep down and disinfects and gets the infection out. Jesus isn't pledge, he's Lysol. And when we deal with these issues in our lives, whether they're demon possession or whether they're spiritual warfare, we need to get serious. Because we have the Son of the Most High God who has authority over these bad guys. He's like the sheriff that rides into town. Say, oh, sheriff, help me, help me. Dirty dogs have come into town and they've taken over. And Jesus says, where are they? I'll take care of them. I'll put them in the abyss. It's so wonderful that we have a higher authority in our lives in Jesus Christ. Our bodies, the Bible tells us, are the temple of the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. But they become dirty because we're under attack. You say, well, what does this mean to me? If you're a Christian, it means when you're under spiritual attack, you have a higher authority that you can call on. If you're an unbeliever, an atheist, you're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, it means you have a higher authority that you can turn to. No matter who you are, we have a higher authority, the Son of the Most High God, that even the demons recognize and say, don't throw us into the abyss, don't torture us, because you have the authority to do this. It's pretty serious stuff. I see a lot of strange things in ministry. Meet a lot of people.
Sometimes you wonder, sometimes you ask yourself when you go away. But it doesn't really matter, because I know deep down in my mind that when I lay hands on them and I say, "Oh Jesus, you are the Son of the Most High God. You have control of the situation. I'm nothing, you are everything. And this person needs your help." We go with peace, knowing that we have the power of the Son of the Most High God. When we sing the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," it tells us, "Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. But one little word shall fell him." And that word is Jesus. Let's pray. God, it's